Hello, and welcome to Natural Geekery. This is a podcast that focuses on role-playing games, creativity, storytelling, and the flow that can happen when friends or strangers sit down with some dice, some rules, and decide to tell a story. We currently feature an actual play called Wild as Plus, where there is no GM, only two old friends using a few rules and creating a fantasy world and a story from random die rolls. My name is Brian. Welcome aboard. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Wild as Plus here on Natural Geekery.
Woo-hoo.
And woohoo! I'm joined by Mr. Woohoo himself, Dr. Hip. How are you, sir?
Woohoo!
There you go. That's how you are today. Fantastic. All right. So what we do here on this particular show of Wild as Plus is we play a role-playing game without a game master. And we have a little bit of a special surprise for everyone this time around. In this period of time, as we go to every 2 weeks and we're kind of readjusting things and looking at how we do the show and I do the podcast, we are going to do something a little different. You're going to encounter a bit of a formatting change. And so kind of what we're going to do is we are going to go ahead and play as we normally do, but you're going to see some more or hear some more interesting and aggressive editing. We're going to try and cut down to the act, just the story for you to listen to, as well as some excerpts and some bits and pieces as, you know, if we have a good time and laugh things up as we build this story. But the individual die rolls are going to be a little bit of a minimum this time around, which hopefully will allow us to move further and faster through the story that you are interested in hearing. So you're going to get a little bit of both, but we're going to kind of cut down the overall discussion of how we come up with certain things. And if you want more of that and you want to hear the unedited podcast, basically, of all of our discussions and what we work through, well, that's going to be over on the Patreon. And you can check that out there, the unedited one. But for this show that you are listening to for free, it's going to be an edited version that will hopefully let us move further and faster and stronger and better.
The new normal.
So there. The new, right, the thing everybody's getting used to anyway, the new normal.
Oh,
all right.
Grr.
Yeah. Okay, so how we play this game is that we use a Game Master emulator called Mythic or Mythic Variations 2, and that is our Game Master. We will do a bunch of yes and no rolls, and it helps us kind of parse through the story we're telling in these little chunks of what we call scenes. And if you're interested in that, please feel free, go back and listen to the other episodes. We really do deep dives into that, and you can hear the actual mechanics of how we blow by blow, roll by roll, how we do it. But that's the gist of it if you're just joining us for the first time. And yeah, I say we just jump into the scene, Dr. Hip, and we make it happen.
Let's do it.
So our two adventurers, Luden the Gnome Ranger and Luden the Half-Orc Paladin of Sedara, who are also members of the Surveyors Guild of the city of Draken Falls, have managed their way to ancient ruins. They've been led there through a series of adventures, and they are deep down in the depths of this old dragon temple, dragon cult temple. And they have come across a basically like a meditation room or a room of rest, also a room of basically hiding, of staying away. Like we believe that because of a journal the adventurers found, that this spot became a place for them to hide from the persecution that was happening to them in the city above. We're still fleshing that out. We're not really sure where that's going to go. But during that time, which was our adventure last week, a ghost appeared of a female dragon cult, dragon priestess. And this ghost appeared, would not interact with Hazo, who had the encounter with it. And it simply walked away and walked into the one exit out of this room, which was basically a natural cavern. And this room itself is a natural cavern. This meditation room that has a little stream flowing through it. At that point, Hazo decided that, what the heck, he needed to follow it. So he basically took off, and that's where we wrap things up. Because Hazo is, what's that aspect? What's that trouble aspect?
Let me take a look at that.
Let me take a look at that. And we went ahead and invoked that trouble aspect because we are using Fate Accelerated as a way to sort of engine our way with our characters to do the role-playing experience through this. And so his aspect of let me take a look at that was invoked, and he decided to take his fate point for that and to take off as he follows this ghost, which is floating away down into this unlit, well, we don't know. It could be lit. We'll have to ask the GM, but this natural cavern system that we have come into. There we go. I think we're good. So anything to add?
Did we determine what happened to the chaos factor?
No, we didn't. We need to do that. We were at Chaos Factor 3. Chaos Factor helps us determine how crazy things get in our little game world. And right now, we were at 3. I think we should bump it to 4 for this new scene.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to be at Chaos Level 4. And because of the appearance of the ghost, I think was enough to bump it up to a 4. And I think the new scene is basically Hazo taking off. We're going to... Luden and Rarsta, the half-orc that is with us from the Outlander tribe, and your wolf, Tamaska, are going to attempt to catch up to Hazo, who has just taken off to follow this ghost. And I think our scene is we follow the ghost to wherever she leads us.
I think that's great. You want me to roll chaos?
I think so. Yeah, let's go ahead and roll chaos, and let's see if the mythic engine has any surprises for us.
10.
10. No surprises. The scene occurs and we just play through the scene. Okay. So what we do is we do the GM side of things first. We kind of set the scene. We figure out what it's about, what we might need to know. And then we cut the players loose and we go from there. So let's ask some questions about this ghost and get this figured out before we go any further. What is, why is this ghost here? Oh, on top of that, we need to check on Rarsta, because Rarsta actually may not follow us because she did not react well to this ghost. I remember last episode, she backpedaled pretty hard and didn't want anything to do with it. So we're going to have a decision point for her, which we need to figure out. So let's go ahead and get started. We've got two things to figure out. What is Rarsta's reaction? Let's do this first. What is Rarsta's reaction to following the ghost? And then we need to do a deep dive into the ghost and where it's going. Cool?
Sounds good.
Cool.
If we think about her backstory, right? A little bit. Like, now that she knows this place exists and those Shadow Fae have exited, she probably wants to get back to her family and the chieftain and let them know what's going on. Yeah.
I think she would definitely feel that she needs to, because she can trust us a little bit that we might tell the chieftain that, but she knows she would definitely tell the chieftain. So yeah, she's going to want to get back and share that information. And she knows she's got to get back so that her people can come back into these ruins. Oh, that's a really good point. So she has two options, right? Like, go with these two adventurers or go back the whole way by herself. And she's an Outlander. She might be able to do it, but you know, there's a lot of dangers out there, including dire cave bears and owl bears and probably giant scorpions and God knows what.
Yeah. The party that came to meet us got mostly wiped out. Well, beat up by that dire cave bear. So she's had a fairly recent experience in the harshness of the wildest plus reality.
the harsh nastiness of Draken Falls, the Draken Falls region. Is this just like some sort of like spirit recording of this? So it's just like a little bit of this person's soul or energy caught in this loop? Or is this actually a spirit that is trapped in this loop? Because if it's an actual spirit, then that could mean, like, do we want to help that spirit? And the spirit can't interact with us, right? So it's going to be a little difficult. Let's start with whether or not it's... I think we had decided last episode that it was mainly a loop. But let's ask, is this someone's soul that is trapped in this loop?
I'm giving that a plus two.
A plus two. Oh, all right, cool. I got a four.
Eight.
12 plus two, 14.
Two evens.
Two evens. So you want me to roll? Yes,
it's your turn.
I got a four.
Captain Chaos, random event.
Captain Chaos, there we go. Okay, so it is a soul that's stuck in the loop, and we have a random event. Do we want to use the magical table?
My mind said this random event could be like a flashback to what actually happened.
Ooh. Look at you. I love it. Let's just do that. And maybe, okay. I'm pulling on all my love of paranormal and ghosty folklore, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't.
What if she was supposed to do the deed and then escape out this cavern, and she would meet her lover at the exit of wherever this cavern leads?
So she keeps...
But she was killed before she could do that.
So she keeps, returning to this route and a way of looking for her lost lover that she can't find over the centuries. Oh, I like it. Very nice.
Yes. Okay. I like it too. All right. So I think that's pretty sweet. I think we just roll with it. Is there anything? I don't want to roll.
So she was not successful. That's what we wanted.
She wasn't successful. So she came down here. She was found out. Maybe she was working on it or was trying to. Maybe there were other priests down here that she was trying to poison at the time. Maybe she had infiltrated their ranks and she was discovered just as she was about to put the poison in the spring water or whatever thing she was going to do. And
they hit her with the old Avada Kedavra kind of thing.
right. Or just a big rock. Yeah. Was Skokal aware of this priest? I'm going to say he probably was. So let's do a plus two.
I'm with you.
Not the female priest, but the crazy priest, the male priest that was trying to take over. I got a six.
Nine.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he was aware. Now we have to figure out, was he opposed or was he for this guy, going all powerful and trying to take over the city, or was he against it? I think that's a big question, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, we just ask one of them, and the other one's, if that one's not true, the other one is.
So how do we word it?
Was Skokal in favor of the priest's rise to power?
Yeah, perfect. That's great. Let's roll. 50-50. I got a seven.
Two.
Oh, curveball.
So no.
No. He didn't like it. He was against it. Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Maybe it wasn't the right time, or maybe the priest was going about it the wrong way.
Well, maybe he was. We've already determined Skokal's not really evil.
Right.
Right? Back in episode two. Maybe he just wasn't happy with the way this guy was going about it.
That's what I think.
There were other ways to do it, and he was doing it. He was going down a dark path.
Yeah, make everybody scared of the evil dragon, which...
No. Right. Yes.
Fear.
I love it. And maybe this flashback, this thing that happened, is what caused the dragon cult to be persecuted. That's what caused it.
That's right. Captain Fear Broker.
Yeah. And he caused everyone to be like, these dragon cult guys are out of control.
They need to be put down like a rabid dog.
Yeah. So he basically caused them to become extremists. And they were causing problems in the city and trying to take over. And they were pretty close. And they got shut down and everything collapsed. And maybe this was originally a resting meditation spot, but then it turned into we've got to hide out from people. Well, first we've got to hide out from this crazy leader. and we've got to figure out what to do with him. But then he finds out about it. He tries to poison them, which maybe brings everything to a head. And this, then the dragon cult sort of explodes at that
point. Yeah, maybe they're going to turn him over. And he's like, oh, hell no. Don't, you know. Yeah. And so let's kill them all.
And poor Skokul's like, ah, guys, we were doing so well.
Humans.
Guys. Humans. Okay, so let's recap everything we've covered. I think some of the clips that you've just heard kind of help you get an idea of what's happened, but here it is all in one form as we move forward. So Rarsta is coming along with us. She is not happy about it, and she is not going to engage the ghost in any way. She doesn't want anything to do with it, so she is going to be hanging back throughout the remainder of this scene. The deeper dive we did, which turned out to be wonderful, was the information on this spirit and this ghost. And we ended up, because of a random event that popped, we ended up doing just an incredible sort of wonderful flashback of what this ghost is doing here, what this spirit was doing here, and what's going on. So what we came up with was that back in the past, this dragon cult temple came into power because of a leader that basically Captain Chaos himself, he was craving power and was trying to take over the city with the dragon cult temple. This leader was not liked by some other members of the cult, as you might imagine, of the order. We probably should stop calling it a cult. maybe it got called a cult because of this leader, right?
Absolutely.
It was an order beforehand, but he...
The Order of Skokul.
There you go. Maybe that's it in one. Anyway, there were what he considered dissidents within the order that didn't like his leadership or his rule because he was not a very nice person. And they had used this meditation room as a gathering point. It wasn't really the point to hide away in just yet. It was a point to come, and the higher priests would come down here, and they were using it as a place to organize against this leader. And he found out about it, and he had a lover in the order who was this female priest that we see as a ghost now. And she agreed to come down into that area, maybe undercover with those priests that were being dissidents, and poison them and tried to kill them, tried to destroy the magic of the room, probably tried to poison the spring, and she was discovered.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thanks. You're our soundtrack. I love it. Quick, Dr. Hip, do the zing. Dun, dun, dun. And so how did we decide? Did we decide that they killed her for sure?
Yeah.
We're not sure how, but there was probably a magical battle or a fight down here when she was uncovered. And the plan was she would poison this space, kill these dissident priests, and then escape out this passageway, the cave passageway that leads to an exit that into the above ground, like an above ground world. And she would meet her lover there. Well, she never made it there. Now, the question is, did she get cursed here by one of the other priests? We didn't cover that.
Who cursed her is what you're saying.
Yeah. How is she a ghost of her own? Like, did her spirit get lost here, or did...
Maybe that she just got trapped.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good enough.
Vision was that was like an Avada Kedavra's curse, you know, like,
dead. Boom.
But she's stuck here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we determined that it isn't a single part of her spirit. It isn't like she's a recording, but this is her spirit. Her soul is stuck to forever walk this path as some sort of penance or something. Something's cursed her. Maybe Skokul cursed her. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's our recap. That's what we got. I'm trying to think if we missed anything. Did we miss anything? I don't think we did.
I think the only thing we did roll to see if you could see any visible injury to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And there wasn't any.
Right. So which leads more towards some sort of like instant
magical
power word kill type thing. Interesting. Okay. So that's our scene. That's what we are rolling up into as now we kind of get down into the nitty gritty of the player character actions. So this ghost is going to move along. I do have a quick question. How do the characters discover this information? Is it in the journal we found? Right? Or is it in some sort of written text that we have?
If you can't talk to us, then we have to, like, it probably has to be.
Right. Right. Let's roll real quick. Let's give it a +2 so we're not stuck. I got a 7.
9.
9. Okay. So it's somewhere in what we have with us as part of a text. So let's talk about the player characters. Let's talk about what actually happens. The ghost floats away. Hazo takes off after her. Everybody else streams along behind. The ghost would go down this cavern and come to... Here's where I want to throw a curveball. And it's not so much a curveball, but what if she leads us to the pictograph room from the earlier vision that Luden had?
Oh, that would be so cool. And it seems like a natural meeting place. I'll meet you at the pictographs. You know,
then the pictograph room is like right near the exit, right?
Right.
Like that's kind of like the way it was in the vision.
Yeah.
And so.
You want to roll it?
Yeah. Do we want to give it a +2? You decide.
I think +2 at least.
Okay. All right. I got a 6.
Also a 6.
Okay. So 12, 14. We only do one random event per scene now, since the last episode. And so we already had our random event. That was the flashback that came out of nowhere that helped us generate all this stuff. I think Luden would definitely sense something like, Hazo, friend, please slow down. Let's not get too far ahead here. We don't know where she's leading us.
I don't want to let her get away.
Well, I understand that, but would you just keep us in sight?
Okay.
I just have this picture of Hazel like scrambling over rocks and like running like a mad gnome trying to follow this floating.
Hopefully she's not moving that fast, but she could be.
Yeah. But I just see like...
Yeah.
He's probably like 10, 12 feet ahead of us, right? Like just enough to where he could fall in a pit and...
I suppose that would be the next thing is there anything dangerous in this pathway that could...
That's a mighty fine question, sir. Let's see. All right. Is there anything dangerous? I got a 7.
A 6.
You did it to yourself. I'm just going to say that right now.
We had to roll something.
Okay. Let's see what is dangerous in the pathway. To answer the question, what dangers might lie in the cavern? We did some die rolls, and poor Hazo. We did a chart roll on the dungeon chart that we had created that Dr. Hip had made, and that one didn't really work. So then we did a roll in this wonderful resource I have called the Toolbox from AEG. It goes back many, many years, and it has a whole section on traps. And we came up with the fact that there is a trap, and what is going to happen is Hazo basically triggers this trap. I guess we can give him a check to see if he notices this trigger, which it would either be a rune on the ground or something that stands out. And this trap is obviously here to protect people from coming in from the outside, even though the outside entrance, I believe, is illusioned up somehow so people can't see it readily, because I think somebody would have found it by now. But this trap goes off if Hazo triggers it, and will fire 14 crossbow bolts at him, and two of which have like a cold effect, like a freezing cold effect to slow him down.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, so Hazo,
I got to roll to see if I notice the trap.
Yeah, yeah. And we decided that because of the severity, you've got 14 arrows, at least two of which have magical effects on them. And the fact that Hazo is more focused on a ghost than on being careful. Good job, sir. This is where you pay for taking that fate point the last episode.
We'll see how.
Oh, maybe you can use that fate point to save your butt. But we decided this was going to be a threat level 3 because we're using the Dungeons of Fate mod where the GM never really rolls because we don't have a GM. So we determine the fate level, the threat level, and then you have to beat that and overcome rolls or anything you want to do, create advantage-wise, etc. So the trap is threat level 3. So I'm going to say you need to beat a 3 to notice it.
Oh, I was even going to say a 4 because I'm not really paying attention.
You're going to take a negative 1 on top of that?
I think so because I think it only makes sense. If I were
looking
for...
You just like to abuse poor Hazo. I like to abuse Luden, so it's cool. I get it.
If I were actively looking for traps, I would say I should, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, so you got to beat a 4 with what aspect do you, or not aspect, but what approach? I would say that's going to probably be intelligence.
Right, that's what I was thinking too.
Yep. All right, roll away.
Stat is a plus 2, so I better roll well. Oh, I did it to myself. I rolled a plus 1, and so I got a plus 3.
Okay.
But that means
you
fail.
Won't notice. I mean, you could, technically, within the game mechanics, you could use a fate point to get a plus 2 on that, which would allow you to see it.
I mean, you could argue that he's a ranger, and as a ranger, he has,
yeah,
you know, higher level of perception.
Yeah, yeah. It's up to you. It's your...
But is he in the middle of...
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. I feel like running after this... ghost was important for my character to do.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think running into danger makes the compel seem real. If I'm going to get a fate point out of it, it's kind of like, oh, well, you did nothing happen. Why wouldn't you just do that every single time? So,
that's a good point.
So I'm going to wait and blow the... If I need to make a dodge or something to avoid damage, maybe I can use my fate point there.
Cool. So you're going to, you trigger the trap.
Yep.
It happens. Running along after this ghost and your footsteps on something, a loose stone or the stone depresses under your feet and you 14 bolts come crisscrossing through the hallway at you. Maybe, who knows, maybe you're a gnome. Maybe they go over your head. Maybe they're at different levels. Maybe there's some that come down from above. I like that idea. So they come in from like left, right, and above.
You would.
It just crosses. Yeah. Hey, man.
You get literally caught in the crossfire from three directions.
I say you need to make, at least you have to do an overcome roll with your dex. I'd say maybe you have to do it twice.
Yeah, I would say easily.
Because these just keep coming, right? It's not, I don't see it as like a full... fusillade of, like, is that the right word? Of 14 all at once. So, yeah.
What I'm going to try and do is run and, like, duck down and try and run and, like, I don't know. I was going to say drill a roll out of it, but I don't really know how far it goes. So, I can't run off. I just got to run.
So, your first part is to run and kind of be like, oh, crap, I'm in trouble. And, like, you run and die. Like, serpentine. And then... Yeah. So, okay. So then we'll have you roll once and then we'll have you roll again once you realize that serpentine isn't working, depending on how things go. So roll that. You need to beat a 3.
I got a 4.
All right. Good deal. So the first round that seems to work, the first round are just a little too slow and whiz past you or by you or behind you. You've got one more roll to make as these continue to go off. We'll cut the 14 in half and say now you're dealing with 7 arrows or bolts. And roll, try to beat a 3.
As I'm doing that, I'm going to go, some explicative that you won't have to cut out.
Some gnome it's explicative.
It's a trap!
Okay, all right.
Oh my god, I rolled a 2 plus my dex is 3, so a 4.
You got a 4. See,
a 5, actually.
You got a 5. You're a quick, nimble little gnome dude, man. Like, no wonder. You're fine.
Quick bolt.
So you're able to, like, dodge all somehow, some way. They bounce off rocks around you. You tumble, you skid, you stop, you roll. And you come through unscathed.
I do have a quick question. Stuck in my backpack. And
yes, absolutely.
Maybe my boot, like the heel or something, you know, or my hat. And they're like, jeez.
What just happened? Yeah, you've got an arrow sticking. Yes, I love it. I love it. Like, there's arrows in you, but they're not in you, right? They're right on you. They're like, yeah, I love it. That is a hilarious picture. So the next question I have, though, is did Luden, who was pretty close behind you, is Luden in the trap? So we need to roll. Let's just ask Mythic real quick. And Tomaska would be pretty close as well.
Yeah, I was.
So is Luden there? I got a 2.
A 10.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Thanks so much, my friend.
It was the dice. It wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
Let's roll for Tomaska, too.
Yeah. Is Tomaska there? 3.
9.
10, 11, 12. So, yes. So
Misery loves company.
Yeah, I guess so. So. Okay, so to recap what happened with Luden and Tomaska, Luden and Tomaska both took a hit from the arrows. We decided that the chance of getting hit by the cold arrows was 1 in 6. Neither one of them got hit by that, which aces, that's good.
Yes.
And each one took 1 shift of damage in fate. I'm going to basically say that one of the crossbow bolts like hit into Luden's knee joint of his armor because he's all plate mailed up. And he's like, ah, God, and like stops and breaks it off and gets it out of his armor. And Tomaska, or maybe Tomaska takes a cut. One glances over her back or over her shoulder.
Exactly.
And so
she's a graze.
Yeah. So minimum damage, considering how bad it was. And we also determined that since we were behind Hazo, we would only have to do 1 roll instead of 2. So that helped out as well. So, what does Hazo do? That's the big question. Does Hazo keep running forward and following the ghost and getting caught up with her? Or does he stop? Like, how does that play out? It's completely your decision.
No, Hazo's going to, like, come up in a crouch, turn around, and he hears Tomaska yelp a little, and you go, ah, you know, and and he's going to try, you know, like go a little farther down the path and just say, let's hold up here for a second, make sure everybody's okay. Sorry, I got a little carried away here. You all right, buddy?
I'm fine. We need to continue to follow this. She might be leading us somewhere. I don't want to lose sight of her any more than you do, but just be careful, man.
All right.
And you've got something in your hat there.
What? Oh, holy crap. All right, save that for later. Rashta, I think the coast is clear.
Yeah, Rashta's back there like, you people are crazy. Like, she's back.
I'm going to slow down a little bit and take a little more time to make sure I can see where we're going while still keeping our little spectral friend or
ooh,
enemy,
spectral friend,
and
okay,
our sights, but continuing on the pathway.
I think we can determine at this point that we simply follow her to the end of the road, wherever that might be. I think we had determined that is going to be dun dun dun. That is the pictograph room from Luden's vision.
Woohoo!
So, I think. Luden let's picture this. Let's play this out. We follow this ghost. Hazo's been able to keep an eye on her. She floats along. Do we want to roll if there's any other issues and give it like a -2 or -4 just to see if Mythic wants to really give us a hard time?
Sure.
I think is there anything else before the ghost gets to the end of her journey? And we'll give it a -4. I got a 7.
2.
9. Cool. That's a no. So we follow the ghost, and at a respectful, careful distance this time, Hazo's still in the lead, and the ghost moves along through this. And again, this is a natural cavern, right? Mm-hmm. And twists and turns. It maybe goes uphill a little bit as it starts to come out towards the surface. And then it opens into a series of rooms, right? Like mm-hmm. maybe one small room and then another medium-sized room that begin to have pictographs carved into them. And I think Luden may need to make a sanity check.
Yeah. I guess one question in my mind is this ghost going to stop here or do they continue on somewhere else? I think we determined they were, but...
Well, let's confirm it. Let's just roll real quick. Will the ghost stop here in this room, or was she going to meet her lover outside? And does she go through the exit to the outside? Because we did like in the vision, there was an exit to the outside world. Mm-hmm. So, and we determined that is something that is in the real world. So I just roll real quick. I got a 9. Does she stop here? I guess the question was, does she stop here? So I got a 9.
8.
Okay, so she stops here. Does she disappear? Like, does she fade away and replay this? Or does she do something else, right? Like, that's... what's a good question for that?
I think if she's replaying this scene, which we've kind of seen that she has been, mm-hmm. then she might, like, look around. Like her, would be searching kind of for a while before she disappears anyway. She still might.
Yes. Maybe she, just in this tragic scene, maybe she starts to cry.
Right. She may sit down and be like,
she sits down on a rock. Yes. Yeah. And begins to sob.
Wow.
Oh, that's.
You are Captain Tragic Scene today.
I love me a good ghost story.
Oh, this is good.
Let's character-wise, what happens here? Luden is going to walk into this room. I think he's going to lose focus on the ghost.
Well, I think for Hazo, this is like a kid in a candy store. You've got a ghost we just followed. We're in one of the most significant, potentially, archaeological finds of his lifetime. This pictograph room of... that no one's ever written about. Yeah. And the mystery that, like, oh my God, he's just like, I don't know where to start. Should I sketch? Should I watch? Should I, is everybody okay? It's like, his mind is just spin, spin, spin. He doesn't even know, you know, he's trying to just take it all in for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so
I love it.
And look at, okay. He's going to look down at Tomaska for a second, like pat her on the head, but also notice like, oh, she's bleeding. You know, it's sort of like everything's coming crashing in on him. He's like,
what do I do next?
Yeah.
What do I do next?
And he sees Rarsta probably skulking along nervously along the side wall, like trying not to be seen or heard and staying away from the ghost. And
that is great. I think Luden is going to have to make a sanity check. I think he's going to, I mean, what would it be like to have a vision of a place and a thing? And then all of a sudden walk into that very thing in the physical, like it's real. And he's just walked into it. I think that's going to be an important moment for him. I'm going to just do an overcome roll at maybe a 2.
2. I agree. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, cool. And let's see. He did not do well. He's going to be at a 0 with his roll. So I think he is going to be pretty stunned into inaction. I think he's going to just walk up and maybe think about touching one of the pictographs. And he's going to kind of spin around and look at these images that he thought were just part of a crazy vision from the Outlander shamaness and some crazy trip he took in a hut. The other question I have,
good.
Though...
Very good.
Yeah, cool. The other question I have, though, is are the pictographs exactly as depicted in the vision, right? Are there differences? That's the question. Are the pictographs the same as they were in the vision? What do you think? Any modifiers to that or 50-50?
I mean, it was a vision, so I don't know if there's any reason for it to change.
Yeah.
Or be perfect. I think it's just left to be 50-50. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, cool, cool. I got a 2. Oh, 6. So they are not exact, which is cool. We can leave it at that, but they are similar enough. Maybe there's one or two that are exactly the same, but for the most part, maybe they also have, instead of reptilian figures, maybe they have some, like maybe they have a cave bear, maybe they have a big stag, and there's these other pictographs of the ancient large animals in the area, maybe a big snake, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he might have only seen a small bit before he was...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it's enough to know that he's in the pictograph room from his vision. So, yeah, he's going to be out of it. I think he's going to be... So that's a pretty interesting scene, right? Luden is just sort of stunned and looking around the room. Rashta's off to the side, like, this got crazy real quick. And then Hazo is just like a kid in a candy store. So excited he doesn't know what to pick first. I think that's a pretty fun scene.
Yes.
How do we want to... Is that the end of this scene? No, okay, so no, it's not, because this ghost is... We watch this ghost... Luden may not even see it. He may be so... I'm going to say that Luden does not see the ghost crying on the rock and like having that scene that the ghost is having. He's focused on the pictographs. He's wigged out. So it's going to be up to Hazo. Does Hazo see that? I think he probably would, because he's keeping an eye on the ghost. Mm-hmm. Is there anything Hazo wants to do? Is there anything player-wise?
Well, I would love to be able to interact somehow with the ghost to communicate, but I'm not really... It didn't seem to hear him before.
Right.
So how wild does he want to be?
It is Hazo.
I was... Okay, we're just going to try a wild character interaction. I'm going to go up and I'm going to attempt to put my hand on the ghost's shoulder.
Okay.
Like a consoling gesture, like you would do for a friend. And obviously my...
Even though
they're not real, as far as I can tell.
And I love this because Hazo has no idea that this is actually a bad guy.
A bad girl, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, you're right. Yeah, sorry. Good call.
She just seems like a sad lizard.
Yeah.
Wasn't she like a dragonborn priestess looking? Or?
I think she... I can't remember, what race she was.
I don't remember either. Human's fine. She's just a priestess, but you're right. I don't know if she's bad.
Yeah. Okay, so let's ask Mythic. Let's ask the question, does your action cause a reaction? Okay, we did some die rolls, and we worked this out. And so Hazo, basically, we got an 11, which is what we determine is basically a yes, but. And so Hazo is going to reach out, place his hand on the ghost's shoulder in a reassuring gesture. But the hand kind of goes through, right? It's a ghost, so your hand would kind of go through that. You wouldn't be able to feel anything. And the ghost, she stops and looks around as if she senses something. But there's, I think Hazo maybe says something or tries to interact with her.
Right, right. Are you okay?
And she doesn't react. And then she just fades away. Poof. And disappears. Probably to reappear back at the spring to walk this route again at another time. Maybe it's not a constant repetition, but... maybe it's only when someone's around. We don't know. We don't know how that curse is worked out. But
that's my typical luck with women.
You've waited. How long did you have that in your hat?
Oh, it just came in there.
Okay, even better. Oh, that's great. Luden will be distracted, and he'll be like, what was that, Hazo? Your luck with what?
My luck with women. She's gone. She faded away.
Oh.
She disappeared.
Why did she come here then, to this exit? I mean, there's an opening right there.
What?
It's much larger than in my vision. And have you noticed that? I mean, I'm sorry. I've been distracted. This is exactly... Well, not exactly. The pictographs are different, but this is almost exactly the cave from my vision that I've talked about.
Your vision with Gratha? You were in this place?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
this is the place.
This room with these images on the wall and that opening. The opening was very much, it was smaller.
Whoa.
You almost had to crawl through it, but this is a much bigger opening, but yes, what does all this mean? Why would it's, I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking maybe if you've seen this before, it was for a reason.
And I can only imagine perhaps Sidara leading in her way somehow to, I don't know. I don't know what all this means.
And you said
we need to check this room out further.
Yeah, you said there was an opening. Was that a way out?
Yes, it's right over there where it was in the vision. We could probably see daylight coming through.
Oh, that's so cool.
Right? And I think this is something that has been in my head. I think I mentioned it earlier in the episode. The entrance is, I want to ask Mythic, is the entrance on the surface side, like on the other side, is there an illusion over it, some sort of magical illusion to conceal the opening?
I'll give that a +4.
Oh, geez. Okay. So
I think that they wouldn't want anybody walking in here. They would have been careful about it.
I think they'd be very careful and very thorough. So, I got a 10. Holy moly.
7.
So, yes, there is. So when we step outside, we'll look around and you can't see the entrance.
Yes.
Coming back in, which would explain why it's never been found. And I kind of see it. I don't see it as like a big 10x5 doorway or anything. I think it's a cave opening walk in, maybe crawl, maybe stoop a little bit, but you can come in and out of it. Luden will point that over to Hazo, and there's an opening right there, right where it was in the vision. And then if you go out there in the vision, you'll step through that doorway and there'll be a gradual slope down to the ruins down below. Now in the vision, it was covered in mist and was so foggy, and I don't know why, but if you step through that doorway, it's very possible, if things hold, that we'll see something similar. But this room, I say we look at this room, and if you want to start sketching, I'll go ahead. If Rasta wants to get some fresh air, we'll step outside and we'll maybe explore this area a bit.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I want to sketch this down.
All right. I think you stay here with Tomaska. Rasta, are you all right? Then if you are, why don't you come with me? We'll just check out the doorway. I just want to confirm that it's maybe the same, and then I'll come back in.
I was going to say, what if you can't come back in?
Oh, dang. Well, that's a risk we're going to have to take, and that's going to be a heck of a curveball. You know, that's a good question.
Boy, this is darkness in my mind.
We're just doing it, man. We're just, okay. You with that and me with my ghosts, we're just treating the characters to a good old time today.
Righto.
Okay, so let's ask this. It is covered in an illusion. Is it possible to come back in that same way? And I'm going to give it a +2.
Yeah, I think if you know where it is, maybe.
I got a 10.
9.
So that makes... Okay, so cool. There's no crazy portal effects or anything else there also guarding the place. So Loon will step out with Rasta just to kind of look around the area. Is the area outside the portal similar to his vision?
Oh, I think so.
I got a 1.
9?
10. No, but. So it's different.
Right.
No, but it's... But the city's close. You can see the city, but it's close by, but it's not maybe as far away, and it's not the same locale. Okay, right. That's cool.
It was a grassy meadow. Maybe it's, since we're in an arid landscape, it's more...
Yeah, maybe it was a grassy meadow back 1,000 years ago or something.
Yeah, ooh, cool.
Yeah, or whatever. Okay.
So Hazo sketches down what he can see of the pictograph cave.
Yeah.
And
while you're sketching, Hazo's going to come back, report what he's found, and ask to see one of the books.
Of course. Yeah, just sit his pack right there and you can help yourself.
He's going to ask, also he's going to ask Rasta, just based on looking out from the entranceway, if she knows where the group is. Like, we can see the ruins down below, or maybe off to the side, but do you know where we are? And I think that's maybe an intelligence roll on her part, which I'm just going to do real quick with a +2. Oh, no, she has no idea. Wow, that's almost a compel. No, she's lost. Cool.
She's kind of freaked out.
Got like a -2. Yeah, she's a little wigged out. All right, so Hazo's sketching, and right. I think, what do we want to do from here? I think we're at a good point to maybe pause.
I think so too.
I think it's not quite a cliffhanger, but there's a lot of stuff going on. So we step out after we do the sketching, we get the information, and then we step out of the cavern.
Yeah.
And then Skulkul flies over.
Yeah. Well, that was a question for next time. Will he show up? Are we going to go back to the ruins to determine where we are so we can go out the other side where we came in?
I don't know. How do we want to do this?
That's all for next time. Are we?
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of questions to be asked, and we can cover that next time. Cool. All right.
We might need to just have a character moment to unpack a little bit of this.
I think maybe we start with that next time. Very cool. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, and what time of day is it? Because it could be dark.
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know
that's
how many question. Hours we were there.
All right. Yeah, that's true. All right. A lot to cover. We'll cover that next episode. I hope everyone has enjoyed this one. I hope you've enjoyed the change in format and the editing. I hope it made it a little bit more of a faster paced story for all of you. And we had a good time with it.
Oh, man. So much fun.
Yeah. I'm having a good time, and I hope everyone else is. And
sorry, I almost got you killed.
Nah, you know, that's the life of a Drachenfell Surveyors Guild member, especially when they're with a crazy gnome.
That's right. I didn't even have to duck in that doorway. I just walked straight out.
Yeah. Cool.
This calls for a little gnomish whiskey. I'm getting
it
low.
Does. Yes, let's end the scene there. We step out and we finish the gnomish whiskey outside the cavern. Like Hazo's like, all right, everybody, I've got a little bit left and I think it's appropriate now. Yeah, I like that. That's a good way. Okay, and scene. All right, thanks, Dr. Hip.
Always.
All right. Take care, everybody. Good roads. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Hope you guys enjoyed that episode of Wild is Plus here on Natural Geekery. Normally, this takes place or has been taking place in what I like to call the midpoint break, but I decided to put this one at the end of this particular episode, mainly due to the flow that I felt we had going with the way we were doing the formatting this time around. As you may have noticed, the formatting is a little different. In our effort to try new things, Dr. Hip and I actually played quite a bit longer, and then the whole thing was edited down in order to make it more, just to make it flow better and to make the story a little bit more interesting. So I hope you enjoyed that. The next following episodes of Wild is Plus will probably continue in this vein. So let us know. You can contact us at naturalgeekery@gmail.com and let us know what you think about what we've done with the place. It's been fun. It's been fun to come up with this new idea of how we're going to do this, and lots of good things moving forward. I know the show is timing wise with the delays of it only being every 2 weeks, that may kind of have thrown a few things off. But I have to reiterate that it's been incredibly important for me, and it couldn't have been better timed. It was like I was precognitive about how crazy my life outside of the podcast was going to get, and it's not going to let up for me in the foreseeable future. I don't actually foresee things slowing down for me until about May, so we'll see how this goes. If we do happen to get ahead and I can put a show out, maybe a little bit off schedule, I will, but we will definitely stick to the every 2 weeks for sure. That being said, we are still doing interviews for the show, and probably have another interview up here in a couple more episodes. We're kind of focused on Wild is Plus right now, but if you would like to be on the show, please contact me at either that email address, or you can also contact me at the Instagram, if I can ever figure out how to get Instagram messages. I'm doing much better lately. Thank you. It's been, I shouldn't have that stiff of a learning curve with Instagram, but I did. And that's just the way it is. I'm better now, really. If you'd like to support the show, please check us out on our Patreon. The Patreon has been a little quiet lately just because, as I've said, I've just been incredibly busy. But we do have some things coming up there, including, if people would like to hear it, we'll put up the whole unedited version of this show, which is about an hour and 45 minutes, I think, is what we came up with. Might be a little bit less than that. But overall, that'll be possibly be put up on Patreon if people would like to hear the unedited version and all of our crazy die rolls and our crazy commentary in between the action. And some other things are coming up for Patreon as well. So stay tuned there. And that link is down in the show notes and you can check out the different levels of support and see if you want to support us. That would be great. And if you don't, if you're not interested in Patreon, that's completely cool. Feel free to leave us a good ranking on the podcast player of your choice. Leave a comment on the show, share the show. Those are all big things that can help us. And the other big thing that can help us is just interaction. It goes a long way to hear how the show may have entertained you or helped you or just made your day better. It helps us in wanting to make more shows. So, yeah. That's it for this one. I hope you enjoyed it. And just remember, you're needed out there, and keep shining. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.